Backseat Producers, episode number 234, Friday the 13th. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And we are the Backseat Producers. Welcome.
Welcome again to our Fright Fest.
Yeah, so if all works out well, this episode will be released on Friday the 13th.
What a coincidence.
We are talking about the film Friday the 13th. Normally we release on Mondays, but we realized we were going to be close, so we just skewed the release date just a little bit.
We're always thinking of our viewers and listeners.
Yeah. The nice thing about time shifting also is if you're used to listening on Monday, well, it'll be there for you. It'll just be there a little early.
But to get the full experience, the full cinematic and audio.
Yeah, we're making it available.
On the day.
Friday the 13th. As far as any business goes, the next movies that we're talking about are
two for one.
Yeah, we're doing two. We're continuing our summer series, and we're talking about
Endless Summer
and Step into Liquid. Is that the title exactly?
Yes. Some surf rock movies.
Yeah, these are both at least as of the last time we looked, both of these are available on Netflix. And available for streaming on Netflix. Yes, important for those of us who no longer have the disc plans. And I think that's about all the business.
Yep.
Sausage Fest plans behind the scenes are looking good. It's going to be we're trying to fill up the time at Archon, so we're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. If you're in St. Louis in mid October,
second week of October,
second weekend in October, you definitely have to come and hang out with us, have some drinks,
eat some sausage,
have some
refreshments.
Be aware of breast cancer.
Yes, very important.
And donate.
Yes, that's very important.
And you know what? The nice thing is you don't even need to be here to donate.
That's right.
You can do that without even showing up.
Yeah, see the magic of technology.
You can actually visit sausagefeststl.com. There's a countdown, tell you exactly how long it is until Sausage Fest. I believe we're at, as of this recording, I don't have it in front of me, but I can go look at the website. We're just over 100 days. I do know that.
And also, you can just stuff small unmarked bills into envelopes and mail them to our secret address.
Yeah,
we guarantee you they will not be embezzled, unlike certain English banks.
as of when we're recording this, which is actually the day before 4th of July, so happy birthday, America.
Woohoo! America, fuck yeah!
Yeah. 101 days, 23 hours, 46 minutes, 53 seconds from right now. When this episode gets released, we'll be at 91 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 92 days.
Keep those dollars and cents coming into us. We need all of them.
Yes. Yeah. You can go to the site. We don't have any of the actual mechanical workings for donations set up just yet, but be aware of it.
They will come.
You know what? If you want to donate, just send me an email. We'll make it work.
Yes.
It's all right. It's all good.
We have multiple types of payment plans.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it's better if you just send it direct instead of going through PayPal because they take their portion. And, you know, when you donate your $1,000, them taking 3%
ouch
is $30. So you want that $30 to go to the charity when you donate your $1,000.
We want to go maximum dollars to go to the charity, not evil capitalists. who are manipulating the interest rates.
Yep.
Unlike certain English banks.
We're going to talk about Friday the 13th, one in a long string of Friday the 13th movies.
Too long a string. The IMDb refers to this as the franchise. My God, how many more stores you gonna open? It's like a friggin' Walmart.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's one on every freaking block.
So, what did you think?
Well,
looking back at this, because I don't know about you, but it had been a while since I'd seen
same
this.
Here. I haven't watched this movie for decades, and I can say that with a great bit of comfort. And I know why I didn't watch it anymore after the first time. What did I think? Well, I can see where it broke. I remember where it broke broke the barriers for gore in horror films.
Sure.
But upon second watchings, it just doesn't work for me. I mean, you can only watch a slaughter fest for so many minutes before, like, oh God, we know what he's going to do. Come on, let's get it over with, move to the next scene. I see where the whole genre builds up all the tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when you go back to the original source, you see, like, okay, now I see why it's considered a friggin' cliche.
Yeah.
The best thing you can charitably say about this movie is it did start the whole women in danger thing, and that's what.
Oh, it didn't start that.
Well, it didn't. Okay, it truly
it didn't start.
It just
that.
Took it to a different level.
Well, I mean, if you look, Halloween came out
was
before
first.
This. It came out before this. It took the. I think it was one of a handful of films that brought slasher films. It pulled them out of Grindhouse and brought them to the mainstream. This was even at the time, a very low budget movie.
Oh God, what was it low budget?
Half a million bucks.
Half a million bucks. Yeah, nowadays that would be considered a student film. This was on the high end of an indie movie.
You can kickstart a movie for more than that nowadays.
You can actually put it on credit cards. Talk to Robert Townsend about that.
Right.
But surprisingly, for as little as they spent on this movie, it succeeded all out of all proportion.
Mm-hmm.
It got major distribution from a name studio. It just did really well. It just hit a vibe that was going on at the time, and gained a rather large audience for a horror movie that it probably would have never have considered it beforehand.
Right. Right. Yeah,
and that's a surprising thing about it, considering, you know, the whole gore aspect of it. I don't know whether you consider this the typical Friday or Saturday night date film to get your girlfriend to snuggle up closer to you. Oh, look! Save me from the mad slasher! Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you watch it now again, it's more like a freaking comedy.
Yeah, well, it's the slasher films have gotten so much more sophisticated.
And more sadistic.
Well, that too. In looking back at these, I think where Friday the 13th is interesting, the first one is interesting in that it did some unexpected things with the protagonist.
With the camera, yeah.
With the camera, with the music.
Point of view. Music.
The antagonist,
mm-hmm.
the
bad
guy.
Now that was the big
guy.
Surprise. Yeah,
yeah. They left the slasher in the shadows, and you saw mostly from the slasher's point of view most mm-hmm. of the time. So you didn't ever get a sense of who that person was, what they were like,
or what even motivation was all about.
Right.
You're just
right.
given the thing that it's a semi random killings.
Right. Well. They did drop some hints early on
mm-hmm.
of what was going on. And if you were paying attention, they actually did a pretty decent job of foreshadowing and giving you enough hints early on to
right. When the girl was riding with Enos the truck driver, he was reeling off all the different things that have happened up at the Crystal Lake camp.
Yeah. Here's your block of exposition. Read it, pay attention, because there's going to be a quiz later, and you shouldn't be surprised when you find out who the killer is, based on everything he tells you. No surprise, this movie is 30-plus years old, mm-hmm. so spoilers if you need it. What's interesting is I wonder how many people who are familiar with the franchise, who maybe never saw this movie, realize that Jason is not really in this movie.
Right.
Not at all.
That's what kind of surprised me, because I had forgotten that essentially it was not Jason who was doing the killings, it was his damn mother.
Yes. Yeah, Jason doesn't appear as the killer until the second movie, with the exception of the shocking dream sequence this one. Mm-hmm. And everything they lay out for you is that it is a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is not in this movie at all.
Yeah, I mean, it took a second director, second writer to pick up on that.
Right.
And that's where the franchise has been running ever since then.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, Jason is a very interesting, very imposing slasher, and is very colorful as a killer. But Jason's not in this movie at all.
As an origin story, it's kind of cool. Yeah, but as an origin story, it doesn't really work for that part of the franchise. Even though this is the beginning part of the film, it is not an origin story.
No, it's not. No, in fact, the origin takes place well before even the little prelude that happens, the little prologue of what happens in 1958. Interestingly enough, I was thinking about it and doing some math. Jason was, I don't remember, how old was he?
He was only like, in his early I'd say tweens.
Yeah, he was like, he was between 10 or 12. Yeah, between 10 and 12. So you figure.
And he died, what, 42?
No, he died in 57.
57.
The prologue takes place in 58. And later on, when the truck driver's telling the story, he said those kids were killed in 58 and the year before that boy drowned.
Okay.
So extrapolate, mm-hmm. 57, if he's 10 to 12 years old, he was born sometime in the mid 40s, to late 40s. 40s. He's approaching 70 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. As of time goes right now. I thought it was funny that, you know, they did 58 and then they said present.
Mm-hmm. Present day.
Present day.
Mm-hmm.
Though clearly it is not present day. Not by any stretch. The townsfolk are wonderfully cliched, and they all have these ridiculous, horrified looks when she says she's going to Camp Crystal Lake. You're going to Camp Blood? It's just ridiculous.
Well, the thing,
and nobody wants
her
to talk about it.
Yeah, well, you think it's okay, happy-go-lucky young girl walks in, oh, so you're going to Camp Blood? Ooh. Like, okay, get a vibe off that. Something's wrong here. Okay, first the question you ask is, what's the matter with this place?
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I'm going to go up there anyway. I'm not scared of no ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll just walk the last 10 miles to the camp down this spooky road. Like, okay. This must have been the 80s.
Here's a tip from Lena in the chat room. A message for moms to tell their daughters, if you run around in your underwear at camp, you die. If you remain fully clothed, you live.
Yes, that's kind of the whole underscore of this movie is, if you have sex, you die.
It's, there's a clear morality to the movie,
mm-hmm.
and if you break the rules, you die. The first one to die is her name Annie?
Mm-hmm.
The one who hitchhikes from town, she's the mm-hmm. one, she's the one we see entering town, meeting up with the townsfolk, figuring out, yeah, it's 20 miles to the camp, so she's just going to walk.
Yeah, with a 50-pound backpack.
We're watching the movie, and you know, she says, it's 20 miles, and then the truck driver says, oh, I'll take you halfway, and Julie and I are sitting here watching it, and she's like, screw that, I still wouldn't want to walk the 10 miles.
That's what I say. I mean, like, come on, you couldn't have...
Give her a ride. It's only, it takes 10
more minutes. I mean, surely you can make the little out of your way. What kind of a guy are you?
And through her hitchhiking, she...
Oh, not like hitchhiking is not dangerous in itself. Even well, the 80s.
in and of itself, but...
Especially in Jersey.
But that was her mistake. Mm-hmm. She was too trusting.
Oh, yeah, because she jumps in the first CJ5 that comes along. Having lived in Jersey in the 80s, I recognize those towns. There are bunches of them in southern Jersey are just like that. You get out of the city, you go to the southern, into the Pineys or the Pine Barrens, mm-hmm. you find all these little towns up there.
Well, shoot, even in this area, you get off the interstate and mm-hmm. you drive
go down
on... 60,
yeah, go down 66 or Highway 100 between here and Jeff City. You're going to run in and out of all these little tiny towns. You know, it's...
Yeah, especially you get just south and west of St. Louis, mm-hmm. and you've got all the hill areas. You start getting into the Ozarks, and you get all the mountain folk living out there.
And then you start hearing banjos.
Yeah. So they set the red herring up real early of the crazy old guy.
Yes, what was his name? George.
Yeah. It's got a death curse.
Yeah.
It's crazy old...
You open the closet, there he goes, you got, they're going to die. Okay. And they're all looking like, okay, what are you doing in the freaking closet?
Yeah. Why are you in the pantry?
Yes. Doesn't like that set off an alarm bell. Everybody looks around like, this is an everyday occurrence. Okay, crazy guy in the closet. He must come with the scenery.
Yeah, so it was funny to me because putting modern sensibilities on this, there are things that just would not have happened. For one thing, you know, even out there, I mean, they probably would have gotten away with it by saying there was no cell,
mm-hmm.
no cell connectivity, which... You know what? That's actually fairly reasonable.
Yeah, but do you think a camp full of kids would have at least one freaking phone?
Well, yeah, that too. And
it's been around since the 1940s. You'd think the phone company could have run a line out there.
Right, right. Ralph, crazy Ralph.
Ralph, yep.
Thank you, Lana.
Yeah, nowadays, if you find somebody in your closet, a bunch of kids would probably just ventilate the things on the AK-47. Yeah, then they'd open the door.
Yeah, that you find some crazy dude in your pantry. Those young guys would have beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, they grab a bunch of frying pans and like, terrorist, terrorist.
Yeah, and they did have the phone line. It was cut.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. So some of that stuff was kind of funny. I loved the guy who was running the camp.
Steve.
Steve, the first time you see him with his shirt off and his short cut-off shorts,
yes.
And his porn stash.
He keeps, you know, the first thing he says, "Guy, that guy's ripped."
Yeah.
He's sitting there chopping that axe. That must have been the beefcake shot for all the girls.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That cracked me up because Julie even commented on his porn stash.
Yes.
I wish she was here. She didn't, she was a little sleepy, even though that we don't have work and such tomorrow. I couldn't convince her to join us. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve. There's Steve with his axe. He's sweaty, buddy.
There's a lot to make fun of in this movie, but they did do some things really cool. Mm-hmm. The music, that very Friday mm-hmm. the 13th music and sound effect. Everybody knows,
mm-hmm.
and it just...
It's like the bass riff in Jaws.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
It sets up the tension.
You know it's coming, and you know when you're looking at through the point of view of the killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it very clearly establishes that this is the killer, and this is the killer's point of view. Though there was a few times... When people were walking through the woods and you were supposed to get the notion that they were being watched by the killer. But if you looked at the surrounding area, the killer was like standing, like right out in the open. Just nothing around.
She runs through the woods. Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing that was nice was when Annie went and went with a hitchhike when she did her hitchhiking. If she would have gotten into that car with Crazy Ralph, mm-hmm. you think she would have probably left. She probably wouldn't have stuck around. She probably wouldn't have gotten in the car in the first place.
In place, yes.
But she gets in with Pamela. Was it Pamela Voorhees?
Pam Voorhees? Yes, Pam.
She gets in with Mrs. Voorhees.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna look at that woman and think twice about getting...
Your grandmother's driving a Jeep. Yeah, you're going to hop in.
Yeah, you're going to hop in. She's going to give you a ride.
Nice granny lady. Nice.
Yeah, I know where that is. I'll take you there. No problem, honey. So that was actually fairly believable.
Mm-hmm. Once you found out it was her, then everything begins to make sense. No one would expect that.
Right. And... You know what?
You expect Crazy Ralph. You expect some guy with blood coming out his nose and horns on his head with a maniacal laugh. No, you don't expect a nice little granny lady.
Well,
holding a 6-foot kitchen knife.
Yeah, and this is, it's 1980. Everybody told horror stories about campgrounds and the killer with the hook hand and everything like that. So why would anybody believe those crazy stories about something that happened, in 58, 22 mm-hmm. years earlier? For most of the people who were working at that camp, likely was longer than they had been alive. That's ancient history.
That's just some stories you told around a campfire.
Right. So some people died 22 years ago. People die. Something happened.
It ain't going to happen to us.
Yeah. Nothing's here. We're all new here. Nobody's been here. Everything's going to be fine.
Yes. We're out in the middle of the woods and nowhere. Like, no one's going to bother us. Heck, no one knows we're out here.
The trivia in IMDb says that the sound, the ch ch ch, was actually recorded as ki 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 ma ma ma, recorded with a delay to be Jason saying kill 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 ma ma ma, mm. or mom mom mom, kill 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 mom mom mom,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense that it's Jason coaxing her,
mm-hmm.
Kind of pushing her forward. And yeah, Kevin Bacon, this was his, would you say, fifth or sixth movie?
Yes, his fifth movie.
And,
Yes, his first being in Animal House.
Right, right. And his breakthrough, of course, being Footloose.
Footloose, which was several movies further down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can see, where he's kind of stands sort of head and shoulders above the rest in this movie.
Right.
I mean, charitably speaking, the acting is a if it was any more, wouldn't it be in a sawmill? But given, again, the nature of this movie, it's probably the best that could have been achieved.
Right.
Because these are still relatively unknown actors.
Yep, yep. One of the things I think... I mean, the movie is pretty straightforward. Once you set all the players up, they're at the camp, certain people leave, certain people stick around... And then Mama Voorhees goes on her killing spree. And people just start dying. For the most part, the killing is fairly straightforward and fairly uninspired compared to how creative Jason gets in later films.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, as a young lad watching, I think it was Friday the 13th, 2 or 3, and... me and my friends had snuck the video because we weren't old enough that we should have been watching it. Yeah, well, and of course, because there's always some girl getting topless, which for a 14-year-old boy that's I don't care if I see somebody getting their head chopped off.
I want to see boobs.
If that head that got detached was connected to a topless female. That's all I'm focused on.
He said topless Beavis. Yeah.
I remember one where this guy was like at a boat dock and Jason like came up from under him with a harpoon gun or something and like jammed it like into his crotch, but like in his thigh and then fired it. Mm. So the harpoon obviously went up into the guy. I mean, it's just very creative. He was a Renaissance killer. I mean, truly.
Yes. He had art in his soul. Such that it was.
Yes. Yes. And Lena's right that Nightmare on Elm Street does have some fairly creative deaths in it. Pulling Johnny Depp into a bed to then create the blood cannon that gets splattered all over the ceiling. One of the many creative deaths in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. While this is definitely a slasher film, there's definitely some elements of gore and horror. It's pretty tame by today's standards.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. Not to say that... I think what's interesting, though, is that they did some things that are still uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin Bacon's laying on that bed and that knife comes
through
up...
through his throat, yes.
Yeah, comes up through his throat, that is uncomfortable to watch.
Yes, and you know what the moral was? He was smoking a joint.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone was doing something wrong. They were having sex, they were doing drugs, they were...
Doing drugs. They were drinking, they were playing strip Monopoly.
Yes.
The worst one of all.
How can you play strip Monopoly? It would take so long.
Well, that's part of the fun.
Part of the tease.
Yes, you're going on Baltic Avenue. Ooh, that's your shorts now. Show's the goods.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's fun for a matter of perspective,
mm-hmm.
to really see how far we've come with some of these movies. It's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's a movie that you need to watch.
No.
It's, if you're a fan of horror, if you're a fan of this type of movie, it's more of a...
training film.
It is a training film, and it kind of shows you the steps that we took to get where we're at now. It's one of the...
Well, also,
it's one of the big movies.
And also that, throw in, is it's if you're looking to... If you're thinking of doing an indie movie of some sort, take a look at what these guys did on almost no budget.
Right.
I mean... They went on location. They found a place that fit their needs.
Mm-hmm.
They probably rented it for a week or borrowed it on the off season since it was a summer camp. They probably did it in the spring or the fall. And you know, they had a town, of course, that jumped in behind them, because you see in the credits, you know, they have a big dedication to the town where it was filmed in, and they got all the police and fire department and townspeople to jump in with them.
Right, and...
Yeah, one of the little trivia things I read there was when they did the first showing, they showed this in the theater in the town.
Oh,
and it
nice.
Was so popular, they had to do a second showing right after the first one.
That's cool.
Because they had so many people show up in the theater, they had to they couldn't accommodate them all.
That's pretty neat. For me, and it's been a while since I've seen some of the subsequent films... in the Friday the 13th / Jason line of movies. And I think we're up to...
There we go. There's one that came out in 2011. It was Jason X.
It was Jason X, but then there was a remake of Friday
yeah,
the 13th.
Yeah, then they rebooted the whole series.
So that's actually the 11th film.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in school, there was always a rumor that someone somewhere... In you know, in the mystical they, mm-hmm. as it were, they had a contract that they were going to make 13 Friday the 13th movies. Now, this is, you know, this is 14, 15 year olds talking, but I always found that kind of funny. And looking, you know, at the time there were only four or five of them,
mm-hmm.
and now to know that we've actually,
this is a franchise that will not die.
We've actually had 11 of them. I'm not sure where Freddy vs. Jason falls into that numbering scheme. I'm sure somebody could look that up. But it's I just always found that kind of funny, and always kind of wondered if they would ever hit a 13th movie.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. If I'm surprised that this franchise has run on as long as it has. I mean, you can only play a joke so many times.
Right.
But for some reason, it just resonates with audiences, and they keep coming back to them over and over and over. Maybe the 18 months, everyone forgets how bad the last one was.
Jason Takes Manhattan. I remember seeing that one in the theater. That was ridiculous.
But the thing is, if you're thinking of, okay, it's this horror comedy now, You don't go to them for being, you know, great cinema. You go to them just for the ridiculous aspect of it. You're like, what are they going to pull out of the hat now to make this work?
Right. Right. Okay. So, Lena has an official counting for us. Freddy vs. Jason is number 11. And then the remake of the original was in 2009. That would be 12 if we count them.
Okay.
So there have been 12 Friday the 13th movies.
So if they make 13 of the movies, no doubt George Lucas will declare the Star Wars franchise completely public domain.
Yeah, right. Well, Friday the 13th was actually a television series here mm-hmm. for a while, too.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
If memory serves, it was somebody who was, I could be remembering it wrong.
Freddie, you have someone commenting here. I want to see him fight the leprechaun. Yeah, that would be totally.
That would be kind of hilarious. If I'm not mistaken, there's a comic book that was actually written based on an unproduced script that was Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Okay, now you're getting to the point of total ridiculousness.
Yeah, well, they made a comic book based on the unproduced script.
I can believe it. Comic books are a good...
Yeah, 87. Okay, 87 the TV series.
A good forerunner. Test audience is there to see how well that concept would work.
Now, I'm sure Lane is looking stuff up, but
Jason versus Jar Jar. Yeah,
that would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. It would last. It'd be a very short movie, but it would be funny.
If I remember a good
YouTube video.
If I remember right, the TV series was kind of an anthology series, mm-hmm. and it was set in like a curio shop where they found evil items, and the stories were based on them getting the evil items from someone.
That sounds like Oddities on History Channel.
Or evil backstories. The backstories about these oddities that they'd found and the evil history behind them and things like that. I could be remembering something completely different because there were a couple of different anthology series.
Okay, we can start a new History Channel show. Pawn Shop from Hell. People come in and trade their souls for various objects.
That would be hilarious. I would totally do that and let people really think they were selling their souls.
Yes.
Just get people to donate items that we would just give away to people. Mm-hmm. Sign your soul away and you get this television. Done.
The thing is, the TV...
Totally wired up.
It's totally wired up and the only thing you get is The Price is Right.
No.
From 1950.
No, you gotta do something a little more cruel than that.
Continuous reruns of Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace would be good. Or you play a sequence of Phantom Menace
with all
and
the Jar
Geely and
just nothing but Jar Jar repeats.
Oh man. Yeah, see, I'm fairly close. So, Rich's comment, please tell me the shop was not run by an old Chinese man with a beard.
And a cough.
And a cough. Two cousins attempt to recover cursed antiques that were sold from a shop they inherited from their uncle. So, that's... I don't have a whole lot else to talk about.
No, this movie 13th. Doesn't really lend itself to a long discussion, because there's not a whole lot there to work with. It's just the same repeat... setup of the demise of each of the individual counselors until we get to the big reveal at the end as to why she's killing them all.
Right, right.
Which is, when you think about it, is sort of a weak premise, but hey, we'll run with it.
Well, it's revenge. It was revenge, and it was quite simply, it was revenge because the counselors were busy screwing instead of watching her kid who drowned. That's it. That's her whole motivation. Nothing evil or sinister about it. Just purely revenge because her kid died. I buy that. That's as good a motivation as any.
Yeah, it's a it, it in any end it works.
And it's surprising. You know, at the time, if you look at it, there's we didn't have a long history of slasher films mm-hmm. that obfuscated the slasher.
Right. Because the Halloween series, you know, we never really find out why he's doing it.
Right. Right.
This one, we have an actual closure at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ominous premise that he's still out there.
For Halloween.
No. For this one. Because the last thing she says while she's sitting here saying is, he's still out there. Meaning the boy was never found. He's still under the water.
Yeah, she asks about the boy. But mm-hmm. but the way they ended mm-hmm. the way they ended this one, I didn't see that there was anything to that they had set up the sequels.
Yeah, they really did, because she was sitting there, you know, looking kind of all spaced out. Well, she just got two hits of Valium, so. But she did say he's still out there, and then they do the dissolve.
Well,
back
she did.
Into
she,
the lake.
She said, "Where's the boy? Mm-hmm. What boy? The boy
who drowned?
Who drowned? The boy in the lake." But I always took that to be her psycho mental.
Well, as
dreams.
You said, it leaves you the idea that he was working on his mom, and he's now working on her.
Right. Right.
The trauma is now been transferred.
So here's something. Scott showed up. Hello, Scott. And he says, yet for as simple as it was, it's so much better than any of the sequels. And he has a whole rant about slasher franchises, which I'm sure we will hear in an upcoming episode of Backseat Quickies. Mm-hmm. Of course, he says it will probably be in a quickie in October. Mm-hmm. I think now it's different than the original, but I think Friday the 13th, the second one, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th 2, is still a pretty solid movie. They start getting really goofy when they get to 3 and 4, and because 3, I think, was in 3D. But even 2, because it was like, where are they going to go with it? Who's the killer? And then they bring out that it's actually Jason. You know, he is back. He has been resurrected, and he is the one that's killing. Plus, the ending of that movie is so freaking creepy. When she brings that head on the platter with the candles around it, that's still, like, that image is burned into my brain. That they use that to, like, throw him off enough so that they can, quote-unquote, kill him and get away. Yes, he did go to space. I believe that was Jason X.
Yeah, so actually, someone did do a parody of that. It was called Apollo 13, where Jason is actually inside. It was one of these early mashups. It was a contest to see what you could do with Apollo 13, mm-hmm. taking the trailer of Friday the 13th and Apollo 13 and mashing them together.
That's kind of funny.
It's hilarious, but it works.
I have to honestly say that I believe I've seen all of them but Jason X. I have not seen the reboot. It's just one of those things. I saw them.
Yeah, I don't think you can improve on what you saw already.
No. But I think it's the collector mentality I have. Mm-hmm. I've got the first issue. I need to get the second one.
To see if they can keep the magic going.
Or at least keep
the stupidity going.
No, I've already committed to the sequence. I've got to finish it. I've got to see it to the end.
Right, to the bitter end.
No matter how terrible it is, I'm going
so
to...
So I can get the... Yes, so you can grok the entire experience.
Well, you know, I watched A Sound of Thunder, and I realized after like the first 40 minutes that this movie was terrible. But I could not stop watching.
Yeah, you're already in this far. We might as well go to the end.
Yep.
Besides, yes, the popcorn's already made.
Exactly. All right. Unless anybody has anything to add from the chat room, I think we're going to call it a night. Mm-hmm. Happy Friday the 13th, when this episode will be released. Say hello to Riley, which you probably have heard him barking in the background if you listen carefully.
Yes, he's a bit spooked by all the random firecrackers.
Yeah, we've got fireworks going off randomly in our neighborhood, which they're not supposed to be because fire warning. So we could be living our own little horror story here soon.
Yeah, so you'll go out the door and see a wall of flames. Yeah. Oh, God, the whole neighborhood's ablaze. Hold on. That's Colorado. I'm not there.
Call Stingray. Ask him how that is. Next time we're going to talk about a couple of surfing. Now, these are documentaries, right?
The first one is more like a travelogue.
Okay.
The second ones are more like a documentary. It's been a long time since I've seen the first one, but just to give you a little bit of background on it, when I was in high school living in Florida, this was a favorite film that they would show periodically in the gym.
Gotcha.
Of course, I went to a high school called Surfside, and it was only 3 blocks from the beach.
Well, yeah.
So, you can see where the popularity. This was a rockin' movie at the time it came out.
So, Endless Summer and
Step Onto Liquid.
Step Onto Liquid. Would Endless Summer have been about 66?
It's set in the mid-60s. Okay. Actually, I think it was. It came out in the 60s, but it had been filmed much earlier.
Gotcha.
Because the guys were moving around the world, and this was kind of assembled footage. It's kind of has a home movie quality to it. But it's fun to watch just in terms of, you know, a more innocent time before a lot of these sports movies became so overly commercialized.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys have any other suggestions for summer-themed movies, shoot us an email, let us know, jump onto the comments on the website, give us some suggestions, because that's what we're going to be doing here for a little while. We'll probably scatter some other things into it, I'm sure.
Here and there.
I'm sure we'll probably splash the Dark Knight into there at some point.
Well, yes, we have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of the other movies that's come out this summer, too, Spider-Man, Prometheus, Brave. Pick a number of them.
Right.
Please pick the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's all I've got. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for coming.